Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and the start of the new month seems to be a bit more promising, at least for Chinese markets, whether they be in mainland China or in Hong Kong. The Shanghai Composite, the Shenzhen Bourse, all starting solidly in the green, and we're also seeing the Hang Seng up by more than 1%. But it doesn't take away from the recent bouts of volatility we've seen grip Chinese markets, particularly from growing regulatory pressures and uncertainties as China and authorities in Beijing start to crack down not just on the tech sector, but other various parts of China's industry that might need signs of reform. Well, how seriously should we take this volatility, and does this actually merit a rethink, at least, of Chinese markets? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, to kick off the new month, we're joined by Mr. Brock Silvers. He's the CIO for Cayenne Capital. He joins us all the way from Hong Kong to talk about these recent developments and what he makes of this after spending decades of watching Chinese markets evolve, change, and perhaps not in always predictable fashion. Mr. Silvers, thank you so much for joining today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health and safe during these uncertain times. And welcome to the show. Happy Monday, if we can call it that, sir.
Sure. Glad to be with you.
All right. So, Brock, it's been a while since we've seen markets across Greater China this volatile, with regulations being rolled out in quite swift fashion. As someone who's been in Chinese markets for decades, were you surprised at how quickly officials have moved to, quote-unquote, crack down on companies across these different sectors? We've talked about it mostly being on some of these tech giants and tech stalwarts in China, but we've also seen it rolled out to property, commodities, for instance. Are you surprised at how quickly they've been moving?
Well, it's actually been happening step by step for a bit now, so it's not really a new phenomenon. You know, Ant, Alibaba, Tencent, all of these occurred a while ago already, but things have been picking up speed. And lately, that speed has just been furious. I don't think the crackdown has been totally unexpected, and I think it fits with the current Chinese administration's priorities. And I'd also say the declining U.S.-Sino relationship has played a role and has probably helped to quicken that pace. In general, I'd say I think the current situation of regulatory change and flux looks likely to continue for a bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, Chinese officials have tried to assuage fear, saying that the fundamentals are intact and the sell-off might be overblown. But is that really the case, Brock? Are funds perhaps overreacting by turning cautious on markets right now, whether they be on Chinese markets or markets out in Hong Kong?
You know, this response by Chinese officials in the press, I think, is almost completely meant to obfuscate. You know, The whole point of the market reaction is that China appears to be increasingly divorced from fundamentals. You know, if a company makes widgets, I can project sales and calculate cash flows and derive a fundamental share value. But I can't calculate a risk for the government stepping in and declaring the sector I'm in to suddenly be nonprofit. So I see the risks as increasingly untethered to those fundamentals, and thus officials can't reasonably reassure me that solid fundamentals negate those risks.
Mm-hmm. We're still speaking to Mr. Brock Silvers, the CIO for Cayenne Capital, here on Money FM 89.3 to talk about the recent regulatory crackdown, quote-unquote, on various sectors in China that's really caused more volatility for markets across Greater China and Hong Kong. There has been a question about whether or not valuations need a rethink, particularly for Chinese tech stocks. Do you think that valuations in this particular space need to be revised and revisited? I mean, just 6 months ago, some were touting that this would be the year that Chinese tech stocks could see more upside versus their more highly priced U.S. peers. Has this changed the game significantly, Brock?
I think it may have. Look, for me, I would say that China Tech needs a revaluation. And I'd say, look, let's ask BD investors if they're happy with their IPO entry points. Or I'm pretty sure any listed education company investor also thinks a revaluation is probably in order. There are some facts that are just sort of economic reality. You know, I think China's recovery is not as quick as we'd hoped. But these new government regulations are also very likely to lower growth and profitability. And many of these stocks we're talking about in this sector were already sort of priced to perfection.
Mm-hmm. You know, monopolistic tendencies, privacy issues, debt risks, all valid issues when you think about it that officials in Beijing have raised as to why they need to start implementing some of these reforms. And some are arguing that they're sacrificing short-term volatility in these sectors for some sustainable reforms in the long term. Do you buy that argument, Brock? Is this a matter of just taking short-term pain to make sure that things can actually be more sustainable in the long term, based on what you're hearing?
You know, there's no question that Beijing is entitled to establish its own policies on debt, risk, and all sorts of regulatory matters. That's natural and should be expected. But we need to keep an eye on what's been happening here. You know, in 1 week, Beijing allowed three IPOs, Didi, Full Truck Alliance, and Kangjun, and then immediately whacked those companies within days thereafter. The companies and the regulators knew it was coming, and yet no one said anything to markets or investors. That's not a matter of short-term volatility. I just think you can make regulatory policy, as Beijing is entitled to do, without displaying that sort of disregard for foreign shareholders. Mm-hmm. Beijing didn't accidentally whack those shareholders. It seems to have been the point, or at least it wasn't a very deep concern.
Do you think they were sending a message out there then, Brock?
Yeah, I think they certainly were. It was a message both to offshore markets, and it was a message to Chinese companies that might be considering those markets.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that they run the risk of perhaps turning off investors, whether they be local investors or significant foreign investors that had a presence in China for quite a while, like, say, you?
Yeah, I think that is a risk, and it certainly has been happening. I mean, look, some of the impact that we've seen extends certainly beyond China's domestic markets. China's IPO train in the U.S. has now been, at least temporarily, effectively derailed, and it remains to be seen. I think China will miss that access to capital. I think it's almost inevitable that Chinese companies are likely to be de-indexed at this point. Mm-hmm. And in a larger sense, I think we can now expect greater decoupling. It wouldn't surprise me if in the near term we saw significant delistings in the U.S. And we haven't even gotten to kind of the U.S.-driven delistings according to new audit regulations, which haven't quite yet gone into effect. All of this now seems more likely in light of recent events.
Which brings me to my next question then, Brock. Does this have implications for markets across the region of the world? We've seen indices shudder in recent days due to the uncertainty. You've talked about the Chinese IPO train in the U.S. Effectively derailed. What is the potential for this to impact over global market sentiment outside? Is it similar as, say, when Wall Street, say, loses ground, it does cause concern in other markets? Does it have that same potential magnitude, at least, to impact markets perhaps in the coming weeks or even in the months ahead?
Yeah, look, I think a greater impetus towards decoupling will certainly not be good for the Chinese economy, the U.S. economy, or the global economy, but I think that's where we're heading. If Chinese companies are forced to retreat from overseas markets back to Chinese markets, it's questionable as to whether or not the local markets here are even sufficiently mature so as to be able to handle that influx. So we're certainly going to see a big impact both within China and externally to China. And it certainly seems a bit negative. Hopefully we can pull back from that precipice a bit.
All right. Mr. Brock Silvers, the CIO for Kaiyan Capital here on Money FM 89.3. We're talking all things China, especially with the new regulatory headwinds, quote unquote, that are coming from Beijing. I do want to zero in one company that's also made the news, Brock. We've been spending a lot of time talking about the technology stocks out in China. But let's talk about Evergrande for a bit. And some have labeled this a bit of a smoking gun for Chinese markets. While they have not defaulted yet, they haven't run out of alarm bells from scrap dividends, contractor lawsuits, unpaid bills, rating downgrades. If the worst were to happen and, say, a property developer of the size of Evergrande did go under, what type of shock would this have for greater Chinese markets?
You know, as China's largest real estate developer and most indebted company, I think an Evergrande failure would certainly echo throughout the whole economy and would be quite negative. But I also think that failure right now still seems unlikely. Evergrande has equity in non-core assets that roughly equals its debt, but it hasn't wanted to sell at available pricing or hasn't been able to do so. I think the problem really boils down to this. Evergrande is trying to save the empire, whereas perhaps the only way to escape implosion in the end may be to dismantle the empire. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I think it will take some effort from Beijing to force Evergrande's hand on this, and we may have to go through first a period of deepened chaos. So an Evergrande implosion would be bad, bad news, but I don't think we're there yet.
And, you know, if is it just a matter of timing then? You did mention about they have these assets that are equal to their liabilities, but they're just being very coy about perhaps selling off. Is it just a matter of timing and making sure that the empire doesn't turn into too small of a kingdom if they start to sell off too fast?
You know, look, I'm sure that no one likes the idea of selling off the bits and pieces and some core pieces to an empire that you may have built over many years. That doesn't sound like fun, but I think at some point they may be forced to confront that reality. And that's what I think we're seeing as refinancing channels get blocked off and sort of bank finance becomes more scarce. It just becomes more difficult for them to find other available options. So I think that's coming whether the company wants it or not.
And just very quickly, Brock, before we end this interview, I do want to ask you about some of the bigger risks you're watching closely out in China that investors maybe should be aware of. We've talked about debt levels, regulatory risks spreading to other sectors. Is there anything out there that might be escaping the radar of the average investor that maybe they should pay more attention to?
Sure. Look, there's a lot of risk in China right now. Not only the economic recovery seems uncertain and debt is excessive, we also have kind of an unquantifiable regulatory risk. But look, none of this really matters if China becomes somehow more uninvestable to Western investment capital. And right now, the basic systems seem to be in conflict. And specifically, look, you know, VIE structures may be at real risk should the bilateral relationship continue to deteriorate. So a lot of these things are extreme risk and also very hard to quantify. I'd say my allocation for Chinese equity is fairly close to zero until further notice. Now, on the debt side, I think there still could be interesting opportunities, but I'm not nearly as keen on owning Chinese shares, at least in the current environment.
On that note, I'd like to thank Mr. Brock Silvers, the CIO for Cayenne Capital, for joining us today on Monday FM 89.3 to talk about what his outlook is for China, given the new regulatory headwinds and uncertainties that have risen in the last couple of weeks. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, Brock, and we look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, do stay safe and we have a great week ahead in Hong Kong if you can, sir.
Sure. Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.